Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Brother CY made it, as you know, made it back home to Nigeria, and we praise God for that. But I got to thinking about something this morning I want to ask you about. When he arrived back in Nigeria this week, let's think about something for a second. Here was a man that sat his feet on soil that he had never been on here in Savannah, Georgia. He saw things that he had never seen before. He probably heard stories, especially from Brother Kennedy and other people that he know been to America. But I thought about some things. But I want to ask you to think about these same things just in a moment about God in your life, okay? I'm sure one of the things that he was asked is, what was America like? And I think a few of the things, because of talking to CY, that he probably went back and he said is, you should see their grocery stores. I mean, you should see it. I know he went into the Kroger there on Berwick. That sucker's huge, okay? There was probably enough food to him in there to feed half of Nigeria, because he never seen anything like that. I know him and I were driving down the road one day, and we were talking about the vehicles, and he talked about how large the vehicles are here in America. I said, well, you know, that's just kind of what we're used to, CY. Then I told him what the price of one of those vehicles were. He said, wow. And he got his paper, and he started calculating, and he said, that would be $14 million, whatever the currency is over there. He said, that's a lot of money. He said, you'd be a big deal person to be driving a vehicle like that. I said, well, I'll try to get me one of those. I'll be a big deal person here. And he also commented on the roads and following the laws. He said that a little bit last week. But then I'm sure people would probably ask him, what were the houses like? And I'm sure he'd say, whoa, those suckers are huge. They're big. And even the ones that they call small would still be huge to him and to them. But then I wonder what he would say if they asked him, well, how big's God over there? How big is God over there? I really don't know what CY would say. My opinion would be what he shared with us last week, is that God is just one more thing for the Americans to put onto their schedule. And that God, they fit them in somewhere, but it takes a lot of time to maintain those big grocery stores and those big houses and those big cars. And regardless of where we are this morning, I think that's a pertinent question for each of us to ask ourselves, is how big God is to us. Do you see the problems in your life before you see God? Do you see the blessings in your life as if you created those blessings on your own through your own strength, through your own know-how? Or do you turn and say, God, thank you for the blessings that you've given me. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for that powerful breeze yesterday that was blowing away the sand gnats that would have been out. Because you know they would have been out. Which, by the way, Rick and I tried to describe sand gnats to CY. Didn't get it. And all I can say is be thankful you don't have to experience them. Be thankful. So I start with that question with you today is how big is God to you? Because this week, you may have insurmountable obstacles you thought, but you may have even had some huge blessings come your way. But did you take time to recognize the sovereignty of God over both? It wasn't either or, but it was both. 2 weeks from yesterday, Kathy and I will celebrate our 22nd anniversary. Pretty awesome, huh? Hey, James, what words do you think we could describe our marriage? What words do you think we would use to describe? Come on, Duck Dynasty for me, James. Thank you, James. Thank you. I guarantee you, though, if you ask her this morning, over 22 plus years, because we've dated much longer than that, 22 plus years together, if you ask her, does Dane always listen to you? You know that's right. You know the answer to that. Well, he hears what? Of course. Thank you, Artie. Thank you. She would probably say, well, he hears my voice, but he doesn't always respond to what I'm saying. Could be that too. Guys, you know and I know this morning that God hears you. You know that. Because most of us in this room have looked eyeball to eyeball for years. I know where you come from. You know where I come from. You know what our lives are like daily. And we believe we know where we're headed. But the fact of the matter is there is still in a day-to-day life gets in the way of believing a truth, and that is that God hears us. Okay? Kathy knows I love her very much, and I know she loves me very much. But sometimes it is just plain aggravating to her when she knows that I've heard her voice, and yet my actions do not reflect the truth that I heard her voice. Well, God hears your voice, and I believe you know that. But as we get ready to look at that truth today, I want to put the backdrop question on you, and that is, how big is God in your life? Well, this morning, the title of the message is, does God hear your prayers? Does God hear my prayers? Now, I know what you're probably thinking. Of course He does. Do you act like it? Do you move out in faith like it? Do you respond? Do you pray like it? Do you read the Bible like it? Do you pray for others like it? Well, this morning, the backdrop is a story that all of you know as well as I do. We're going to look at Jonah and the big fish. We're going elementary, old school kind of story this morning. Very simple and to the point. John, we're going to start, though, in verse 14. God's already given the call to Jonah to go over to Nineveh to basically share that God's judgment was on the way. Thunder and lightning was getting ready to rain down on that city in Assyria if they didn't repent. Well, Jonah is a prophet, and Jonah decides, God, I don't want to go tell those good-for-nothings that you're going to wipe them off the earth. God, I would rather you do that. I would rather you do that than me be obedient. And so Jonah hatches a great plan. He decides to get on a ship going the opposite direction of Nineveh. He literally is going 180 degrees away from it. Well, on this ship, a storm comes along. You know the story. The storm gets so bad that the sailors decide they're going to try to save themselves, so they row harder, they throw all the stuff off the ship, and nothing's helping them. Well, they decide that somebody on that ship is the cause of this problem. Okay? And most of the time, if I was on the ship, I probably would have been the cause of the problem. But they decide to do what any spiritual thing would do is cast lots, turn to witchcraft, basically. And so through that, God speaks to these sailors and says, Jonah. Jonah's the problem. And they talk to Jonah about it. Yeah, God told me to go do something. And I said I didn't want to go do it. And so they came up and said, well, we're going to have to do something. And Jonah says, you are going to have to throw me overboard because, in essence, I'm not man enough to do it. In essence, Jonah's saying, I'm the problem, but I'm not man enough to do it. And so they decide, these gentlemen on this ship decide, okay, we're going to pick you up and throw you overboard. And so we pick up the story in Scripture there right before Jonah is thrown overboard. It says in Jonah 1, 14, chapter 2 and 10, then they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then chapter 2 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake your faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word as we read it. Lord, we're counting on you to speak to us today through your spirit, through this body. Lord, you are already moving. You've been moving this morning. Lord, I would pray today that, Father, speak specifics to us. Lord, not generalities, but specifics. Lord, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Does God hear your prayers? Point number one. Ask yourself this question. Where are you right now? Where are you in your life? What's going on? What season of your life are you in? Because most of us, when we cry out to God, it's when? When we're in trouble. Okay? Most of us take a lot longer talking to God when things are going downhill than we do to take time to God when things are looking pretty good. Okay? Most of us take a lot more time when things are against us than when we take time to say, thank you, God, for reminding me that you're for me and that you're fighting. Most of us are in trouble when we cry out to God. In fact, we wonder if He hears us because we know how well we've been listening to Him. In fact, most of us, I think, a lot of times wonder if He hears us because when it comes down to a conviction of the heart, we ask ourselves, God, have I even been listening to you, though? So most of us cry out to God when things are not going well. We also cry out to God when we've exhausted all our own human means. When we've tried everything that we can think of. We've watched every talk show. We've gone to every self-help book. We've gone to everybody that'll give us advice that we think's worth listening to. When we've exhausted all of our own human means, that's when we have a tendency to also cry out to God. Jonah was in a bad spot, wasn't he? I consider that a pretty bad spot. Jonah tried to fix his own problem. He didn't like what God had to say, so he went his own direction. We have a tendency, don't we, church, to be a little too dependent upon ourselves. That we have a little trouble thinking that we've got it all under control. That's a tough thing. That's a very tough thing. In fact, I think if that was one of those things, if I could ask CY this morning, hey, do you think the church in America believes they've got it all figured out on their own? I think CY would say, yeah, I think they do. We also have to ask ourselves, as we look at where are you right now, do you feel isolated and helpless? Do you feel isolated and helpless? Jonah, God's got a sense of humor, doesn't He? I mean, God didn't just have Jonah be thrown over the ship. God said, let me show you how awesome I am. That I've got this fish, may or may not have been a whale. I got this fish so big that you're going to get to live inside of it for 3 days. Isolated and helpless. Is that where you are right now? Just feeling like you're all alone? And do we feel like we're surrounded by threats? You know, I promise you, some of you read the news and you know before you ever read it that you shouldn't be reading it because you're going to be depressed afterwards. Okay? You know, you skim for articles that may give a glimmer of hope. First of all, is there anybody out there that's not crazy? Okay? Including us, right? I mean, I was just talking to Tom a while ago. Another Carnival cruise ship is having trouble. Stay off the Carnival cruise ships. All right? I'm sure you can get a rate really cheap today on the Carnival cruise ship. All right? But do you feel like you're surrounded by threats? Do you feel like everybody really is after you? Okay? And I want you to know something. Spiritually speaking, because there's only two sides spiritually. There's either God or not God. The not God really is after you. All right? So it's really a matter of how it manifests itself in your life. In fact, I told somebody this morning, I didn't go. I've never been to the St. Patrick's Day parade, and I know, don't throw anything at me, please, God. So of course you're from here, Bev. Kind of, you've been here for a long time, so I've probably been here long. I've been here 22 years and never been to it. But I was said this morning. I thought yesterday I was riding down the road and I thought, God, I wonder what evil looks like downtown today. And then I thought, kind of like your reaction, Stephen, was kind of like, I wouldn't want to see what evil looks like downtown today because I'm sure it's full. My prayer is that no evil got to stay here that wasn't already here, that we just need to deal with what we already had to deal with. We didn't need any more. So do you feel surrounded by threats? Do you think about your bank account this morning wondering, man, there's a lot of month left and there's not much money left? Are you surrounded by people in your family, your friends, your coworkers, and you're thinking, man, these relationships are tough. Is it worth the effort? Is God hearing anything I'm saying to Him? So where are you right now? Are you in trouble? Do you feel threatened? Do you feel isolated and helpless? Do you feel like you are in the belly of the great fish this morning? Are you believing that not only does God hear your prayers, but listen to me carefully, He wants to hear from you. Because that should be powerful today. Because I promise you, all the adults in this room, I know most of you very, very well. Most of us in this room, adults, there's probably one or two people from your past that you would like to hear from. You really wouldn't mind hearing a phone call. Their actual voice, not a Facebook message, not a text message, not even email. You wouldn't mind hearing a phone call from somebody that you care about. That you would like to hear someone tell you, hey, I was thinking of you. Do you feel that way? Where are you right now? Maybe things are going awesome. Then praise God for it. But don't lose sight of the fact that that relationship requires you believing He hears you. Don't lose sight of that. Maybe it's going well. But what do we do next? We ask this question. Is God listening to you? God knows where you are, doesn't He? He created you. He didn't leave you. He created Jonah. Think about something for a second. Jonah did not become a prophet on this assignment. Jonah was already a prophet. That means God had already spoken to him. He was supposed to be delivering messages. Is God listening to him? I believe He is. I believe He was listening very closely to Jonah. Not just in the well or in the fish, but prior to that. If you believe, God knows the very hairs on your head today. And He knows your address. And He knows where to get a hold of you. Then you need to trust that He's listening to you. That He knows that detail. You can't cover up anything from Him, can you? How much time and energy, though, do you put into the mental think of, yeah, but maybe I can just hide this from God today. And the truth is, you know you can't hide it from Him. So is He listening to you? Because He knows where you are. God cares about you. God cares about you even though you may have disappointed Him. He still cares about you even though you've messed it up this week. Because if He didn't care about me, even though I messed it up this week, and He didn't care about you because you messed it up this week, then He'd have to give up on all of us, wouldn't He? And some of you this morning are believing a lie that God's given up on you. Well, I want you to know something. That's a lie, but it's a lie because God can't give up on Himself. And because He can't give up on Himself, He can't give up on you. Because it would be against His nature, and He can't go against His nature. So is God listening to you? Not only does God listen to you, He longs to listen to you. He loves. The Bible refers to hearing heartbeats. He knew you before you were formed. Now you think about the time, the effort. Man, He loves you. God's been trying to get your attention from the beginning. One of the things we encourage in this congregation is to journal, to write things down. And one of the reasons why we encourage that is that sometimes when things aren't going well, it's a good opportunity to look back and say, you know what, when I didn't think God was listening to me, there He was. He was listening to me. How about that? He really was. Does God like to remind you of His workings? Yes, He does. God's been trying to get your attention for a long time in different ways. He's not going to waste anything. He's listening to you. And even when you didn't realize it, God was watching over us. Most of us live life, I believe, with a very nebulous, God has a plan, God loves me, God's protecting me. Instead of looking into the details of our life and saying, whoa, in this situation, in this instance, I know God's listening. And I want to be listening. I want to be looking for Him today at work. I want to be looking for Him today wherever I go, whatever I do. You know, it's one of the things I loved about CY. Rick and I probably ate about 4 or 5 meals with CY at different restaurants. Unfortunately, I didn't step in the first time and Dusty took him to Mexican. All right? I was only able to steer away from Mexican food one time. All right? But every time I looked at CY, I said, CY, is that good? He goes, oh, it's good because God made it and God only makes good. And this is from a man who put tartar sauce on a sweet potato. True, right, Rick? It's sweet potatoes. He put tartar sauce in the sweet potato and said, see why? You know that's tartar sauce, right? Oh, I know. It's good. Come on now. Come on, you don't have to tell me that. I didn't try it and not going to try it. Okay? But God listens to everything you have to say. I want to challenge you about something today. If you feel like you need to complain today, complain to Him. If you need to gripe, If you need to use a stronger word in your mind, you can use a stronger word in your mind. I'm not going to say anything else. But if you need to complain and gripe today, then complain and gripe to Him. Why hold it in? He already knows. Is He listening to you? Yes, He is. He's listening to your praises. He's listening to your thanksgiving. And He's listening to your woes. Even if they're imagined, He's listening to you. So ask yourself, where are you right now? Is God listening to you? Yes, He is. And God's going to answer you. He is going to answer you. Now, the last thing. What's the next steps? Oh, God's going to answer you because He loves you and He cares about you. But you have to be willing to take the step of faith and say, no matter what you say, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to go where you need me to go. I'm going to sit still when you tell me to be still. I'm going to just love you no matter what you get ready to say. God does hear your prayers. Back to Jonah. Jonah basically cried out and said, God, I'm in the belly of this fish. Help! Help! I don't think any of us can imagine what it's probably like to be like that. I mean, talk about unknown. Your fish food. You're wet. It probably smells pretty bad. Okay? I mean, I'm thinking real bad. Okay? You don't get much worse off than being in the belly of a fish thinking that any moment you really should be eaten. Okay? Stinky, wet, and dark. Terrible conditions. And he cries out. And part of that little thing that he says is basically he's confessing to God, I am utterly helpless. And God, I'm counting on you to hear my heart. I am utterly helpless. I can't get out of this situation. And I know you're listening. God, I know you're listening. So he had to take a first step of realizing, I'm helpless. Hands out, palms up. I'm helpless, God. How am I going to get out of this? I have forsaken you. I didn't trust you. I know you're listening, God. Even in the belly of a fish, God listening. So take your first step today. What is that? Well, you need to decide that. Like I told you before, it might be with complaining and griping a little bit to God today. Maybe you had a tough week. Another step is don't wait any longer to do something. Does God hear your prayers? Do something today about it. Begin to be honest with yourself. You see, too many of us here live life defined by circumstances. I mean, guys, we are in a culture that loves to do nothing but label us. And so often, we have very little control over the labels that we get. I mean, Kathy gets on to me from time to time. Well, she didn't get on to it. She encourages me. She says, when are you going to change that silly Facebook picture? All my Facebook picture is a dog cartoon. I said, I really don't care. I really don't care. You know, probably never, Peter, especially now that you ask me. All right? All right? But the reason why I say that to you is this. Do you care about this? I mean, do you care? Do you really care? Do you care if God hears you or not? Because I guarantee you something today. You may not be in the dark, the wet, the stinky. The checkbook might be full and the car has plenty of gas. But if you don't care, then your attitude stinks. Okay? So circumstances, good, bad, or in between, will not define God hearing your prayers, but it'll define your heart about God hearing your prayers. And even in the middle of that, Jonah cried out. And think about something for just a second. We don't know how far the ship was out when the sailors tossed Jonah over, but God's grace and mercy was so good, where did it say the whale vomited Jonah onto? Dry land. Do you think Jonah was happy to see sand? Or happy to see dirt. Hey, it put it to a new meaning to kissing the ground. All right? Because it was dire. What are your next steps? Be honest with yourself. Call out to God. Listen to what He's saying, and if you're struggling with that, get with somebody else. Dig into His Word. But what He is not doing is nothing. None of us sitting here can say, God is doing nothing in my life. If you're saying that, you're lying to yourself, because it's just not true. Because God has no intention for any of us to sit on the sidelines and watch life go by. And it might be the smallest, just tiniest thing today. But God's saying, I'm hearing you, you hearing me. Let's get in this game together. Let's be active in our own life. Be obedient to Him. I believe most of you listen to my voice. You have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. I believe that. So I'm not asking you, are you saved today? I'm asking you, are you in it with Him? Are you in it with Him? One of the things that fascinates me the most about Jonah's story is this. Remember, I told you he was a prophet. So he already seen probably God do things. He saw God sparing. And then he went to Nineveh and he declared the truth. 3 days he walked around Nineveh declaring the truth. Okay? And the Ninevites, starting with the king, said, we're in trouble. We're repenting. We're fasting. Don't even let the animals eat. We're going to make them fast. And the city, wouldn't that be awesome if the city of Savannah repented and confessed sin and things, spiritually speaking, were different? That's incredible. What a powerful miracle. But Jonah was so hard-headed that he still dug his heels in, went outside the city, and basically, to paraphrase, hoped something terrible would still happen to them. I don't want us to leave this morning with that same hard-heartedness. God's already been stirring you. I believe that before we arrive on Sunday, God's been doing things in our lives that God's already been stirring us about. God does hear you, and you know He hears you. But ask yourself, do I want to be so close to God today that I don't ever have to ask myself that question again? Where are you right now? Yes, God's listening to us. What steps is He asking you to take personally? Now, you might need somebody to put their arm around you and say, I'm in it with you. And that's okay. That's okay. Before I open the altar, I got a little story I want to tell you, a true story. I don't know that I'll get through without crying, but that's all right. Like I try to tell teenagers, a little sweat never hurt nobody, a little tears never hurt nobody. All right, they still believe sweat kills. All right. This week, Mandel Pill called me. Matthew and Amanda are doing well. We're in Fort Worth, Texas. Speaking of Fort Worth, Rick, they're still over there. They'll be over there for about another year and some change. And she told me about a little boy that's 4 years old. His name is Silas. Now, I met Silas about a year ago. He had a tumor in his belly. Little four-year-old belly. His little belly was way out there. Went by, saw him, been praying for him. He'd actually been doing pretty well. Been doing pretty well. Responded to chemo, been responding to different kind of treatments. Went to Atlanta, started going up there, started doing some things. Amanda told me, said, you need to be praying for Silas. Just got off the phone with his mom. They live in Vidalia. The family lives in Vidalia. That's how Matthew and Amanda know him. She said they pulled him in Monday morning up at the hospital in Atlanta, and they told him that since his last surgery, which was only about 3 weeks ago, that his cancer had spread to his lungs and he had two more tumors in just a matter of a couple of weeks. And they said that basically with chemo and treatments, we'll give him a year. Without it, we'll give him 4 months. And Amanda says to me, she says, well, I tell you what, it's hard to say anything to anybody when they tell you that news. I said, that's right, Amanda. I said, I tell you what, don't say anything. Just listen. Just listen. I don't care if she says the same thing to you 25 times. You just sit there and you listen. You give her that ear to listen. And she said, this is the part of the story I want you to hear very carefully. That when the parents went to tell Silas, he's 4 years old. Now, in the last year, you can imagine what his life's been like. Multiple surgeries, multiple blood draws. Everything that we all know happens has happened to this four-year-old boy. When his parents went to tell him, "Silas, this is what they've told us, just what I told you," he looked at him and said, "Oh, good. That means I'm going to be with Jesus sooner and I'm going to get a new body." Hey, does he hear? Yes, he does. Words couldn't tell you how encouraged I was to hear that story. Because I'm just like you guys sometimes. I sometimes wonder, are they getting past the roof? I don't know. But then sometimes I remind myself, why in the heck am I looking up when he's really, really close? He's really, really close. Isn't he? He's really, really close. So in just a moment, your chance to respond. I would strongly encourage you to do something today. I just feel this very strong in my heart. Go deliver an encouragement word to somebody this morning. I don't mean during the fellowship time while Gary and the Jordanaires are up here playing the band while they're playing. I mean during right now. Fill out those prayer cards right now. Rick and I will be up here for you to pray with, but I'm encouraging you to deliver an encouraging word to somebody else this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I know it's been brief, but may it be glorifying to you. God, I don't want us to complicate anything. I don't believe you're a complicated God. I believe the depth of you cannot be reached, but I don't believe you complicate things. So Lord, this morning, speak to us, but speak through us. God, praise be to God that you listen. God, strike down the lies that some of us live under, live with, or are oppressed by that says you don't care. Because God, that's garbage. You care more than words can ever say. Give you this time, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.